Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day when life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for February 17th, 2020. Today, looking at the first four chapters of the book of Proverbs. One of the cool things about scripture is the different varieties of literature that God uses and the different varieties of literature that he through which he inspires his prophets and his writers. He doesn't just stick to, you know, textbook history like we have in Genesis. He doesn't just stick to prophecy like we have in the prophets like Isaiah or Jeremiah or Joel or Hosea or those people. He doesn't just even stick to Psalms. There are a lot of Psalms, and the book of Psalms, aside from the book of Isaiah, the book of Psalms gives us the best pictures of and the most complete pictures of Jesus the Messiah centuries before he is born. But he also used the literature of the Jewish people. Obviously, all of those things were part of their literature, their body of literature that they had. But there's also this whole body of literature called wisdom literature. Wisdom literature would especially include the book of Job, the book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes. Those are probably the three most prominent, but also the book of Song of Songs or Song of Solomon, and some of the other non-biblical books that show up in the Apocrypha as well. And the purpose of wisdom literature is to get you to think, to generate discussion, and to provide something for you to think about and meditate on. You know, like take the, for instance, the book of Job. The whole book of Job deals with that question of suffering and whether suffering is just or it's not. And Job was sitting there. He's like, I haven't done anything wrong. Let God bring his case against me. And his friends are showing up and saying, Job, what have you done? Confess your sin to God and maybe he'll have mercy. And Job is retaliating to them. And he's like, I haven't done anything. And the whole point of the book of Job is that you and I can't determine from cause and effect or from our own lives exactly what is going on behind the scenes. Job, as far as we know, never learned why those things happened to him. But that would be missing the point, because the first purpose of wisdom literature is to provide something for you to talk about, especially with your loved ones or your church family, those that you are growing up with, or, you know, especially in the home, something to talk about and to get you to think more deeply that maybe there's more going on here than meets the eye. And today we get to the book of Proverbs, and Proverbs, you know, chapters 1 through 4. Proverbs is a series of proverbial statements, statements that in general are true, but are not necessarily true in any specific particular case. That's something that we have to keep tucked in the back of our mind, that in general, these are general truisms and they are generally true, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they are specifically true in each individual case. So for instance, one of the Proverbs, it's generally true, yes, train up a child in the way he will go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That is a general statement, and by and large, it holds true. But it doesn't necessarily hold true in each specific case. And so when we get to the book of Proverbs here, Proverbs chapters 1 through 4, the important thing is, I'm going to read through this, and it'll probably take us a good 14, 15 minutes. But that 14 or 15 minutes is just the beginning. If you ever get back to your paper Bible, or you're just driving along and you choose one or two of them and think about it, or choose something that really caught your ear, you know, probably 4 or 5 Proverbs together, and take a moment to talk about them. And what does this mean for my life? And how does this apply? Because this wisdom literature is for those who are a little bit more instructed than the average bear, so to speak. You know, maybe somebody who is a new convert, yeah, you can definitely gain a lot from this. And you can definitely gain a lot of insight and guidance for your life from it. But there's more to it than just the surface. So if you're a new Christian, and if you're new to following this Jesus guy and learning about what God has said in his word, my encouragement is, yeah, read the book of Proverbs, but then come back to it in a year. Come back to it after you've been through the whole cycle of the life of Jesus, and come back to it after you've had an opportunity to sit and talk with others in Bible study and look at this again. because there's a lot more here than meets the eye. So with all that in the background, we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To learn wisdom and discipline, to understand sayings that give insight, to acquire discipline to act sensibly, to acquire righteousness, justice, and fairness, to give good judgment to the inexperienced, to give a young man knowledge and foresight. A wise person should listen, and he will increase learning. A person with understanding should obtain guidance, so that he will understand proverbs, puzzling statements, and the thought-provoking words of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but stubborn fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my son, to your father's discipline, and do not forsake your mother's teaching, because they are a garland of grace for your head. They are jewelry for your neck. My son, if sinners lure you, do not go along with them. If they say, come with us, let's lie in wait to shed blood. Let's hide and ambush an innocent person for no reason. We will swallow them alive like the grave. We will swallow them whole like those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of wealth and treasure. We will fill our houses with loot. Cast your lot with us. We will all share one bag of money. My son, do not walk along the road with them. Do not set foot on their path, because their feet run to do evil, and they hurry to shed blood. How useless to spread a net in the sight of any bird. Yet they set up an ambush for their own blood. They hide in ambush to take their own lives. This is where the path leads for everyone who is greedy for stolen property. It takes away the life of those who possess it. Verse 20. Wisdom calls out loudly in the street, in the public squares she raises her voice. At the noisy street corner she calls out, at the entrances to the city gates she speaks her words. How long will you gullible people love to be gullible? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing? How long will fools hate knowledge? If you respond to my warning, I will pour out my spirit for you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called, but you refused to listen. Because I stretched out my hand, but no one paid attention. Because you ignored all my advice, and you did not accept my warning. Therefore, I will laugh at your calamity. I will jeer when terror strikes you like a violent storm, when calamity strikes you like a windstorm, when trouble and distress come upon you. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They will not accept my advice, and they despised all my warnings. So they will eat the fruit of their own way, and they will be stuffed with their own schemes. Therefore, the wandering ways of the gullible kill them, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety. He will be secure without fear of evil. Chapter 2. And I think what I'm going to do as we're reading through this, the translation that I'm using is the EHV, the Evangelical Heritage Version, as found at BibleGateway.com. The headings that we have in the EHV here help to provide some context and some setting and some framework. So I'm going to include those, even though they aren't part of the biblical text, they are helpful for the reading, especially as you're listening to it. So chapter 2 has the heading, Second Address to a Son. Wisdom provides protection. My son, if you accept my words, if you store my commands within you, by paying attention to wisdom with your ear, by reaching out for understanding with your heart, if indeed you call out for intelligence, if you raise your voice for understanding, if you search for it like silver, if you hunt for it like hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Then you will know the knowledge of God, because the Lord gives wisdom. Knowledge and understanding come from his mouth. He stores up sound judgment for upright people. He is a shield for those who walk in integrity. He protects those who walk on paths of justice. He guards the way of his favored ones. Then you will understand righteousness, justice, and fairness, every good path, because wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasing for your soul. Foresight will stand guard over you. Understanding will protect you. It will save you from the evil way, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who abandon upright paths in order to walk in the ways of darkness. It will save you from those who enjoy doing evil, from those who celebrate the twisted ways of evil, from those whose paths are crooked, and from those whose ways are devious. Next heading, before verse 16, wisdom protects you from the adulterous woman. Verse 16. Wisdom will save you from the immoral woman, from the unfaithful woman with her seductive words, who abandons the husband of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. So she sinks down to death, which becomes her house. Her way of life leads down to the spirits of the dead. All who enter her house never return. They never reach the paths of life. Admonition to live righteously. Verse 20. This is how to walk in the way of good people, how to stay on the paths of the righteous. Yes, the upright will live in the land, and people with integrity will remain in it, but wicked people will be cut off from the land, and treacherous people will be torn out of it. Chapter 3. The heading to chapter 3 reads like this, the third address to a son. Wisdom leads to the Lord's blessing. My son, do not forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commands, because they will add long days and many years to your life, and peace and prosperity will come to you. Do not allow mercy and truth to leave you. Fasten them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will find favor and approval in the eyes of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not consider yourself wise. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. Then your body will be healed, and your bones will be refreshed. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits from your entire harvest. Then your barns will be filled to capacity, and your wine vats will overflow with fresh wine. Do not reject the Lord's discipline, my son, and do not despise his warning, because the Lord warns the one he loves, as a father warns a son with whom he is pleased. How blessed is the person who finds wisdom, because the person who acquires understanding, because the profit it gives is better than the profit from silver, and its yield is better than gold. It is more valuable than gems, and nothing you desire can equal it. In its right hand are the days of long life, in its left hand are riches and honor. Its ways are pleasant ways, and all its paths are peace. It is a tree of life for those who hold on to it. Those who cling to it are blessed. The Lord founded the earth by wisdom. He established the heavens by understanding. By his knowledge, the deep waters were divided, and the clouds dripped dew. My son, do not take your eyes off these things. Guard sound judgment and insight. There will be life for your soul and grace to adorn your neck. Then you will walk safely on your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be pleasant. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of the destruction of the wicked when it comes, because the Lord will be your confidence. He will keep your foot from being caught. The fourth address to a son, practice wisdom toward your neighbor. Verse 27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is within your power to give it. Do not say to your neighbor, go away, come back some other time, I will give you something to you tomorrow, when in fact it is already with you right now. Do not plan harm against your neighbor when he is living with you peacefully. Do not quarrel with a person for no good reason, when he has done nothing to harm you. Do not envy a violent person, do not choose any of his ways, because a crooked person is an abomination to the Lord, but God's friendly guidance leads the upright. The Lord's curse rests on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. Although he scorns the scornful, he gives grace to the humble. Wise people inherit honor, but proud fools receive disgrace. Chapter 4. An address to sons. Your parents teach you wisdom. Verse 1. Listen, you sons, to a father's discipline. Pay attention so that you will gain discernment, because I have given you good instruction. Do not abandon my teaching. When I was a son living with my father, a tender and only child with my mother, he used to instruct me and say to me, cling to my words with all your heart. Obey my commands so that you may live. Acquire wisdom. acquire understanding, do not forget, and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not abandon it, and it will watch over you. Love it, and it will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is to obtain wisdom. Give up everything you have in order to gain understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you when you embrace her. She will set a garland of grace on your head. She will present you with a beautiful crown. Fifth address to a son, the difference between the wicked and the righteous. Verse 10. Listen, my son, and accept my words, so that the years of your life may be many. I have instructed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you along straight paths. When you walk, your stride will not be hindered. Even if you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to discipline. Do not let go. Guard it, because it is your life. Do not travel on the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil people. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it. Pass it by. For they cannot sleep unless they have been doing wrong. And they are robbed of sleep unless they are making someone stumble. Because wickedness is the food they eat, and violence is the wine they drink. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, shining brighter and brighter until it is day. The way of the wicked is like gloomy darkness. They never know where they will stumble. Sixth address to a son, advice for a righteous life. Verse 20. My son, pay attention to my words. Open your ears to what I say. Do not let them escape from your sight. Keep them deep in your heart, because they are life for those who find them and healing for the entire body. Above all else, guard your heart carefully, because your life flows from it. Turn your mouth away from perverted speech and keep devious lips far away from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Let your gaze be directly in front of you. Make a level pathway for your feet, and all your ways will be secure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your feet away from evil. This is the word of our God. And so as we think back over these proverbs, these collections of sayings, you know, like six different times that the speaker is imaged as speaking with his son, like a father to a son, with a couple of addendums, you know, scattered throughout. But what God is really doing here is it's like he's walking us alongside you or me, like that parent or that caring uncle or grandfather or pastor or teacher, that person who kind of took you under their wing a little bit when you were having a tough time getting life sorted out and wondering, what is the right thing that I should be doing here? And how am I supposed to act when all the other kids in the school don't act properly and they belittle me for what I'm doing or what I'm not doing? And it's in that moment when it's like the mentor comes alongside and says, hey, let's talk a little bit. You look like you're going through a lot. And that's what God does here. That's what God does here with these different selections in Proverbs 1 through 4 and throughout the rest of the book. As you get later into the book, it becomes more and more a collection of sayings rather than like 6 or 8 verse chunks or selections around a particular topic. But there's still, even later in the book, they're still arranged kind of thematically. And one of the major themes is this idea of, first of all, finding wisdom and finding understanding. And what we see is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, that if you are a believer, then you've got a greater grasp, a better grasp, and an understanding of life that an unbeliever will never have. So that's the first idea, that wisdom is found with the Lord. The second idea is watching who you're friends with, or watching who it is that you're hanging out with. I had somebody say that to me once, that you can tell what a person is like based on whether they have good friends or not. And I mean, it's kind of held true. Look at the friends who have stuck with you over the last, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20, in some cases 30, 40, 50 years. Look at the friends who have stuck by your side or who have been there for you. And you would learn a lot about yourself, especially over that same time period. Or, you know, think back or think ahead or think of your current life, depending on your particular age group. Think to that time in high school when you're going through school or when you had your first job and the friends that you had there and the crowd that you hung out with. And the Proverbs kind of remind us that who you spend time with is really going to affect your view on life and the things that you do, whether deeds of wickedness or deeds that are in line with the Word of God. See, for instance, also Psalm 1 that we just read the other day about walking in the way of sinners and standing in the seat of mockers and that sort of a thing. Blessed is the one who finds his or her delight in the law of the Lord, in the word of the Lord, like a tree planted by streams of water. And that's what God says, because there you'll find, coming back to this again, there you will find wisdom. So we've got wisdom as kind of, and wisdom and understanding that is found in faith as the primary theme, at least in this section, that secondary theme of watching out for the friends that you spend time with. The kind of third theme is personal discipline and restraint. And that takes on various shapes and forms. One of the major motifs, especially in the early part of the book of Proverbs, is of temptation as a beautiful woman. And if you're, you know, if you're like that uncle, that pastor, that father, that grandfather talking to a young man, that is obviously a major temptation, not just in youth, but even later into life. The temptation of lust and the temptation of changing what we do or how we act based on somebody else's opinion, or, you know, acting a certain way so that it gains the favor of that one girl or boy that is looking at us shyly or smiling at us, whatever the case may be. We all kind of know where the proverb is leading there. And this third theme that he's really talking about here, we have wisdom, we have the friends that you spend time with, and then thirdly, talking about discipline and restraint and not being led astray. Because those who are led astray find death and destruction. There's a little bit of that back in chapter 1, I think it was, or maybe it was chapter 2, talking about this woman who is an adulteress and who seductively tries to lead somebody astray. And that theme comes up again a couple chapters later, around chapter 6 or 7, I believe. And this young man, in those later chapters, goes aside and he follows her because she's promising life and success or something like that. and all he ends up finding is death and destruction and sadness. And how true it is that the Christian life, that you as somebody, and this is kind of where it's all going, that you as somebody who has been purchased by the blood of Christ and made a follower of Jesus through his word, that you still live in this world. You've been called to be different. And yes, your faith could be shipwrecked if those lustful passions were to control your life. But that's not who you are. You've been baptized, you've been set free, you've been given life with Christ today and forever. And so God gives us the book of Proverbs to take us alongside as the mentor to the mentee, as the teacher to the pupil, as the father to the son, or the mother to the daughter, or, you know, mother to son, father to daughter, and to teach very carefully in a way that prompts us to think and talk about this, to teach us what does it mean to live a godly life in this world. And the three major themes that really come out, first of all, find wisdom through faith in Jesus. Secondly, spend time with the right crowd, that is, with people who aren't going to lead you and encourage you to fall into sin. And then thirdly, watch yourself personally so that you aren't led astray and have your faith shipwrecked through temptation and through lustful action. So I guess that kind of wraps us up today. I did. I have gotten a few feedbacks and comments from people, and maybe we'll feature some of those in an upcoming show. But I guess the only one that I had for today was I got this early this morning, almost early. Well, it was early enough, at least in my time, to include it, but I hadn't thought about it through. But shout out to Kathy and her family and the listeners that we have out there on the West Coast. Thanks for joining us. And if this has been a blessing for you, we thank God for that, for finding, 25 minutes today where the life of Jesus meets yours. God bless your day.